Welcome to SciTech Culture with Steve Kern and Ben Warner, where we examine science, technology and culture in the 21st century. Visit our website at scitechculture.com.
Well, here we are. We're trying something a little bit different today. You know, like I'm always looking for different ways of doing things. I figured after 370 episodes, we could try a different workflow setup. I'm basically trying to do a all-in camera, well, effectively all-in camera recording here with our backgrounds already subbed in and everything, and recording all into one audio feed. We'll see how successful it goes later. I do have backups, like I'm recording myself separately, and I've got you recording your audio separately in the event of everything blowing up, but we'll see how it goes. But apparently it's done like this all the time, but I never trust these things. You know, you always want backups, don't you, when you're in production.
Oh, that's it. You've got me standing on the roof of the Royal Adelaide Hospital here.
Exactly. The World Cup's been on my mind, you know, on a lot of people's minds. I've been enjoying the games, admittedly biased, you know, to watching the Australian games, of course. And of course, I've been up for 12 hours already. We were both up in the wee hours watching the Australia versus Egypt game this morning. You know, I'll just, you know, quickly on that. When did Egypt decide it wanted to be Italy? You know, like with all the Oscar-winning performances in the dives category. But leaving that aside, it was a bit of it was obviously a shame that Australia lost out on penalties. But then, like I was thinking, they seem to have a and they seem to keep doing this every time they get there, which is kind of play a bit defensive, but I think they were even more defensive play than what they have been in the past. And so it's a little disappointing, but you know, you don't really expect much of them. You know, like they're always the underdogs. No one's, they're kind of like flying under the radar in, you know, these types of competitions. So, I thought, you know, it was fun and, it was good to, I guess, you know, follow Australia for a little bit in one of these things.
It always is. I think the toughest thing for Australia is we probably lack the quality finishes that the top flight teams have. They have the strikers, and usually they've got two, sometimes three guys up forward that can finish incredible goals. Australia doesn't have that, so you probably play to your strengths, which is defensive, and hope you get your opportunities. But we got up at 3:30 this morning. We didn't see any opportunities at all. And then when we got to penalties, we probably didn't take our opportunities. But there'll be another World Cup, you know, and I'll just, maybe this is a nice little segue for us, Ben. You know, there were some commentators saying that some of the coaching decisions were maybe a little bit controversial or, you know, maybe unorthodox, you know. Maybe it's time just to have AI making those decisions. Or maybe AI did make those decisions. I mean, will we ever be happy?
Well, that's the thing. Like, so yes, a very nice segue into this idea that, you know, the amount of technology that's being used in sporting events, we're focusing on the World Cup here. Here's a couple of articles that we've had a look at in relation to some of the tech that's being used in the World Cup. AI obviously features in there with their AI pro system. You've got the VAR, the video assist review. You know, it's funny watching referees run around with head cams on. The ball apparently has sensors in it recording 500 statistics, which I'm not clear what those statistics are, but I'm sure it's feeding it into a supercomputer somewhere and it'll go out into the live feed and give us something or whatever. So I'm not entirely sure, amongst so many other things. And it just makes me laugh at the fact that how did we get by without all this technology in the past? Oh, we relied on the referee to have their own judgment on the day, and maybe they weren't always 100%, but that's what the audience was there for, to you know, abuse them when they got the call wrong, you know.
Look, you know, you want referees to get it right. We don't want to see bad or wrong decisions in the game, but so far in all the sports that I can think of, whether it's tennis or football or Australian rules. It doesn't really, we're still getting bad decisions. And I think because at the end of the day, the real issue is that we're using technology for humans to interpret the decisions. Maybe we'd be better off we just let AI make the decision in a black box and give it to us, and then we can argue about it amongst ourselves later. But humans are fallible, and I think the fact that the technology, or usually visually, video-assisted refereeing, or you know, it's still fallible. It's still only what a human can see and what a human can interpret, so there's still room for error.
Mm, absolutely. Although, funny enough, like I feel like the head cams the referees were using, which I'm sure are part of the system for review, but apparently they're also part of the coverage, you know, like the actual footage that we're watching. Because I remember there was one point where I can't remember what game it was, and there's like this really bouncy kind of camera footage, and I was like, well, I thought they had steady cams in, you know, out in the stadium and that. But I guess it makes it feel a bit more raw, maybe. I don't know.
They have steady cams on the boundary or on the touchline. But as you and I know, you put a camera, a lipstick camera, on someone's head, there isn't any amount of electronic stability that's going to frame that for you neatly. And that's why I think at best we get about between 5 and 7 seconds of referee footage a match, because otherwise we'd all be nauseous and spewing up. Well, that rocking of the boat, oh, vision. And it makes you wonder, like, what good is it? Because you can't really use it to see anything.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that, like, just from a tech point of view that I found interesting with this is, like, just, like, it's almost like an overcomplication of what we're watching. You know, at the end of the day, we're watching two teams kick a ball around and try and keep possession in order to score a goal. Like, to simplify it, you know, like, obviously, that's soccer, so many other games with a ball in it. And, you know, that would be enough for the enjoyment of it. But whether or not it's like part of television theater, if you like to call it, and, you know, like being able to like really analyze it to death with the amount of data that is now presented to us as part of the coverage and whatever, you know, I'm always impressed when they have things like, you know, 71% control, you know, possession for one team, you know, 20% possession for the other, 9% in dispute or something like that, and how they come up with those numbers and whatever. Maybe it's, you know, the 500 sensors that are on the ball or something, you know, that they're kicking around. is that television production? You know, that is, because I would think that if you're just out to enjoy a game, yeah, okay, maybe it's interesting as an add-on, but I'm not sure if it's adding anything to it or not.
Well, look, personally, I always find the psychology of the players and the way they go about their business that's interesting in the game. You know, how a team stands up to pressure or how a team gives pressure to the opposition. Look, a lot of these stats, I think, you know, some of the things that are promised, you know, oh, we've got 500 metrics off the ball. The reality is that soccer players now are so fast, so skillful. The ball moves at such a rate. I don't think you can use GPS really to track the ball, maybe afterwards, but not during, and not to the accuracy. I mean, some of those goals, some of those shots, and some of the positioning of those players are down to the millimeter. Like, GPS at best is meters. So it's, you know, what's it going to tell you? The force on the ball when they kicked it? Or what, you download that after? You know, I really don't think you can get enough real-time stats. And my biggest concern was, even if you could get all of these stats in real-time, they'd probably only be used for gambling anyway. I don't think they actually add anything to the game itself.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one other thing I wanted to touch on, which actually got me sort of thinking about this. I wasn't thinking about doing this topic necessarily, but I think this is what kicked it off for me yesterday when I was talking about it with a few people, about how in the good old days, you know, there wouldn't be any of this technology apart from, you know, some rudimentary statistics that would come up on your CRT TV that they were punching into a, you know, some, you know,
analog. An old Chiron graphic.
Yeah, exactly. But technology is not just like the computers and the AI and all of that. It's also, you know, the improvements that they've done to grounds, to, you know, stadiums, to player uniforms, to and all the, like, you'd almost call it scientific in the way that they want to, you know, maximize the amount of playability, I guess would be the lack of a better term. You don't have the muddy pitches anymore. You don't have the thick clothing and all of that sort of thing. And I guess there was kind of a view that, you know, while, you know, that's may have led to like maybe a faster, more precise, more accurate game with a lot of fancier kind of technique and, you know, some exciting viewing in terms of watching the games, something was lost character-wise with the scrappiness of how it used to look and all of that, and whether or not all of this, you know, rounded up all together is impacting the way we experience the game today.
Oh, I think there's no question of that. I mean, the sports science that goes into the preparation of the athletes all round, everything from nutrition to training programs and their skill level, just absolutely phenomenal. The materials now on the boots, on the ball that they're wearing, you know, these are all probably, I don't think you could actually get to a point where you can make them much more effective than they are today. It's incredible. And it means a faster game. The preparation of the pitches, the way they design stadiums even, means a faster game, which means the game has evolved. But, and with that, there's some positives to that. There's some positives also to the way it used to be when you could have a really fast player who was, you know, 2/10 faster over 40 yards than someone else. But now, today, everyone runs at the same pace, you know, so it's more about how this team sets up and moves that ball forward to create opportunities. But, and probably ironically, you know, the thing is that all these improvements that have sped up the game and made the game far more exciting and the athletes on display, really true elite athletes, has just made the game harder to referee. And the one thing technology hasn't been able to solve is that. We're still seeing decisions. We still can't decide, should it be where your feet are that's offside, or should it just be, you know, your body? You know, it's very, very difficult. And as long as humans have to make these split-second decisions, and this, even when they're reviewing them, they still have to make split-second decisions, it's very difficult, and it's no wonder half of us are never happy.
Absolutely. Well, to round it out and to finish up, I would think, you know, AI to the rescue, obviously. I'm sure that's what big tech would love to hear, you know, that they can sell this to, you know, to FIFA and make a gazillion dollars out of it. And then, of course, there is all the ads, you know, like the very Blade Runner-esque ads that are scrolling around the ground whenever we're looking at it. So even when we have commercial breaks and we return to the game, there's still the serving ads to us.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm surprised they actually use real-life LED screens when they could just use a magnetic mask for the coverage.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Steve, we might wrap it up there. Did want to finish off by saying that I watched the Argentina-Cabo Verde game straight after the Australian game, and that was, I felt like, a better game to watch, and it was quite exciting. Gave the Argentinians a bit of a shock. It was well worth watching the goal highlights afterwards of that game.
Well, that's it. Well, we're down to the last 16 now, and this is where it gets exciting.
Absolutely. All right, so that's it for this week's episode. We'll catch you next time.